and it's the roundtable portion of the show. Joining us is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, coming off a bye week for a team that went into it, I think feeling that certainly it needed to regroup. And when you're 2-7 and you come off to a disappointing game like they had against Baltimore, Doug, I think this was as necessary and as great a timing for a break as you could have.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the injury factors and the guys getting healthy, that's a big part of it too. The shame of it is with the new collective bargaining, you know, you can't work. And I think that's where you get better is by working.
Yeah. And Tom, the attitude of the players, I don't know, watching practice today, that was an enthusiastic group. It didn't seem like any sense of drudgery Monday. Yeah. Oh, we're back at it. I mean, it looked like guys were looking forward to it after having the weekend.
I think you guys look well rested, by the way.
Thank you.
It was a good week for everybody to kind of.
So do you.
I guess the vibe at practice was very good. You know, as Coach Shurmur said last week, it was important for the team to, you know, get away, but not exactly take the time off. I mean, you know, obviously recharge the battery in terms of getting physically better, but mentally taking a look at the first 9 games and thinking about, you know, what do we need to do better as a team to get some wins? And that was the big emphasis that I heard from Joe Hayden about 15 times today, that, you know what, it is time for us to start winning games.
Yeah, and attitude is as much about this story as anything else with this football team. I still see, Doug, a group that's engaged, that they go into these 7 games here not feeling as defeated as their record says they are.
No, it's a young football team, and I think young football teams remain hungry. You know, old football teams, sometimes guys just mail it in with the idea that they don't want to get hurt and they want to get into the next season. I think these young kids have something to prove, and the only way you can prove it is by, you know, getting W's on Sundays.
So if we had to look at what we want or hope that this team worked on and focused on, as Doug said, there wasn't like a lot of on-field time, but they did have some time together with players. And I talked a little bit about this with Coach Shurmur. No real specific sense, but maybe some things to clean up. I mean, what would you want to see from this team to have fixed going into the second half of the year?
Well, obviously coming off the last game, Vic, it'd be cleaning up the play calling / communication issue that there was, where the team had to call 3 timeouts because the play clock was winding down. So you hope those little things kind of get cleaned up. But I think, you know, more than anything else, I think it's just a mental refresher, a chance to, you know, especially if young players, and Doug can attest to this, you know, they get to that point in the season where, okay, they've got 9 games under their belts, they've got a training camp, they get to that point where, okay, in college, this would be about, you know, we're time to play the rival, and then it's on our way to the bowl game. So they get to that point where there's that big mental hurdle to overcome, and I think this was the perfect time for this young group especially to get that battery recharged.
Yeah, and the details, especially from an offensive standpoint, a team that has been so close in so many games that it's those small margins that make the difference. We were reminded of that watching games this past weekend, of teams coming up short because of mistakes they made. Certainly the Browns have done their share of that. I just think in general, a team that tightens itself up, that realizes what they squandered in opportunities just by making a series of what are small mistakes that become big mistakes.
Well, not only the mental mistakes and things like that, I think, you know, it's the ability to convert on 3rd and 1. I mean, that's, as Blanton Collier used to say, you used to have an attitude play where if you needed that 1 yard, you could dial up this play and that you're going to get that yard. You could count on it. And I think, you know, we're like second to last in rushing first downs. And, you know, we've got a pretty good running back in the backfield, so those numbers don't equate. So I think at this point in time, that, and when you get in the red zone, getting it in into the end zone rather than kicking the field goals. I mean, Phil is great, but we'd like to see less of Phil on the field goals and more of him on the extra points.
And so much about we've talked about in the past, Vic, is finding out that identity.
Yes.
You know, what kind of team are we? Are we going to smash the ball? Are we going to try to throw it over the top to set up this short run? So, again, 3rd and 1.
Well, you know, we're a pass-first team, and I think one of the problems is with a young team, it's harder to be a pass-first team because, you know, I always say, you know, guys never get cut in the NFL because they can't run block, is because they can't pass block, and our guys have done a great job as far as the pass protection.
Yeah, only 14 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, which is like 5th, I think, in the league as far as pass plays, attempts. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, know, that part of it is good, but we do have to get an identity, you know, establish them. I think we're a team that needs to get more first downs. We need to get the chunks.
It's the roundtable portion of our show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug Deacon for the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And you bring up the running game and Trent Richardson. I guess if this bye was vital for any single player, he's the guy dealing with those sore ribs. And I don't think he's coming back completely healthy or healed. I'm sure it's going to be an issue with him probably through the remainder of the year. But he's feeling good. I'm sure he feels better than he did last week. And even not feeling not so good, he put together two of his better games back-to-back. So that whole point of identity and combination of an offensive line that I think is physical enough to help him out, but he's physical enough to make plays, I think that's going to pay off.
I totally agree, Vic. I think the only thing that's in Trent Richardson's head right now is that Alabama loss on Saturday. I think he's still dealing with that a little bit. But you're right. I think there is he is the one guy who we probably haven't seen yet at 100%. So you would hope that that week off, you know, allowed him those ribs to get a little bit better healed. And, you know, we'll see what we got in week 10.
Yeah. And, Doug, the O-line, because we've talked about how well it's protected, I don't know if it's gotten enough credit for holding together as well as it has. When you consider that you've had a rookie playing at right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, and that you consider Jason Pinkston gets lost for the year with the blood clot, so John Greco steps in, and it's pretty much been seamless and somewhat. I mean, I'm not saying they're playing perfectly, but as a group, it seems like they've held their own.
Yeah,
despite some disruption.
But it gets back to the third and ones. You like to dial up their number on third and ones sometimes to see how we do if you know we're going to run it.
Yeah,
and I think you know they've got some continuity going there, and you've got two first round picks, you got a second round pick, and a couple other high picks, you know, in the offensive line, and I think you know. The offensive line is one where chemistry develops with time playing together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how your guard's going to set. You know you know who's going to help you out if you know you have trouble. So I think they're doing great. The thing is, you know, we found a way to get on the outside without pulling the guards. You know, we pull the tackles in the center, and you know, they run good. And you know, to get Richardson out in space, then he can really do some damage.
You know, on the other side of the ball, then too, Vic. You know. With Ruben coming back today, you know, that defensive line is finally whole, maybe for the first time since I don't know when.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time this season, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's what Joe Hayden was saying. He said it was so nice today to line up and look up front and just count them right across and see the big boys up front. So that's going to be a big change for them.
That's got to be a huge difference, and it leads me to exactly what I wanted to bring up next, which is appreciating, I guess, what this defense has done so far. When you see the Baltimore Ravens put up 55 on Oakland yesterday, and to think about how tough this Browns team and especially this Browns defense played against that high, what's supposed to be a high octane Ravens offense, and I just reminded me, I guess, Doug, is that this defense is pretty good.
Oh, the defense, you know, they play well, and fortunately the Ravens didn't run a fake field goal when they were up 30 points on us. I don't know how that one got by, but you know, no, the defense, you know, it's spurts. Every now and then you're trying to make somebody one-dimensional. There's a couple games where we weren't able to do it. But, you know, when you add a Ruben, you know, and a Taylor together playing for the first time, I think you're going to have that ability to do it.
Yeah.
Rucker was saying that today, in fact, Vic, that, you know, he played one game with Phil Taylor so far, and he said he learned so much just in that little time that they were on the field together, you know, and he really sees that being, you know, a huge advantage going forward.
Well, it also helps to quell Jackson to have those big bodies up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and it's going to be a group that, and let's face it, the tests are only getting more difficult through the remainder of the schedule, and it starts with Tony Romo, and you got, you know, Ben Roethlisberger in the not too far distance twice. But I think of Tony Romo and
throwing Peyton
Peyton Manning.
Oh, that guy.
Oh yeah, that guy. There's some real challenges, but I also think that for this secondary, you bring up Joe Hayden, they as a group too, as long as things work up front the way you expect them to with Ruben's return, as a group, I think they're up to those challenges. I think you can – I look at Tony Romo, and I certainly know it'll be difficult and to do it on the road, but I just listening to Joe Hayden today, they're excited about this.
Yeah, they've had some big challenges already, Vic. Yeah. I mean, they've faced some pretty good quarterbacks to this point, so you would hope they would take those lessons and learn from them and hopefully grow over these last seven games.
And the fact that Buster Skrine, you know, got some experience, and I think Buster now has the confidence and he knows that he can trust his speed, you know, that's going to make it – because they're going to have more flexibility back there.
Right. All right. The roundtable is in place, and we'll reconvene at the end of the week as we talk more in detail about facing the Cowboys. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, Vic.
All right. We are continuing on with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.